The Drex Radio Show, weeknights 7 to 10 on KGO 810.
I am not poison, no, I am not poison, just a boy from the hood that got my hands in the air and despair, don't shoot, I just want to do good, I am not poison, no, I am not poison, just a boy from the hood that got my hands in the air and despair, don't shoot, I just want to do good,
spiritual, no, I'm not poison, no, I'm not poison, just don't get laid off. Spiritual, yes, it is spiritual. No, I'm not. Spiritual by Jay-Z, released today about police brutality, but it is on Tidal and it's available for and to everyone. Haven't heard new Jay-Z for a long time. That sounded very different from him. Okay, a couple things here that I want to talk about. Tyson Beckford, model, actor, I don't know who the hell he is. But he was on TMZ today and I thought he made an interesting point. Tyson Beckford thinks that, and by the way, it doesn't matter whether you know him or not, just like I didn't know him, thinks the batch of cops who grew up over the last 25 years might not respect the power of the trigger because they became numb to it by playing video games. Tyson talked to TMZ about the carnage this past week, and he also has advice for black males on what to do and what not to do when getting stopped by the cops. And by the way, so did this country singer, African-American country singer Coffee Anderson. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. But let me play this for you from Tyson Beckford. Go ahead.
We might have to send a lot of these cops back to training because, this is a generation of the computer games and video games. So I think a lot of cops, when they hold their gun, they're so trigger happy and wanting to use it instead of de-escalating the situation. And I think they need to learn more of that and less gun and, use more tasers and things of that nature, because, when you pull your gun, it's a lethal thing. It's not, there's no coming back from it. Once you pull that trigger, that bullet does not come back into that barrel of that gun.
Okay, I think perhaps a valid point. 808-0810, 415 is my area code if you're listening anywhere in the western United States or outside of San Francisco. 415-808-0810. But I also think you've got to play to the other side of the fence, and that is younger people, probably people under 35, same thing. Grew up like, I'm older, but I mean, even I played Doom. I still play ridiculous, as I said, I played Mobile Strike and stuff like that. Yeah. That doesn't mean I'm going to go out with my tank and run over somebody and shoot somebody, blow them from here to smithereens. Oh, I've thought about it on the bridge, but I don't have a tank. But no, but in all seriousness, do you think that there's something to what Tyson's saying about being desensitized by video games? In other words, the question is, do you think that video games cause violence? Now, look, this argument has been going on since Pong. Okay, maybe a little after that. But, I have to tell you. So, but they really still don't know the answer. I looked into this and today and did some research on this. And this comes from August 17th of 2015. Decades later, experts are still asking, does virtual violence lead to real violence? And that's what I'm asking you. What do you think? 808-0810. A new report from the American Psychological Association Task Force has concluded that playing violent video games can lead to an increase in aggression. The research demonstrates a consistent relation between video game use and an increase in aggressive behavior and decreases in empathy and sensitivity to aggression. However, even after more than 20 years of studies, the APA says there still isn't enough research into whether these games actually cause criminal violence to reach any conclusions about whether playing a first-person shooter will increase the likelihood that someone will shoot people in real life. Well, there needs to be more studies. Now, that was late last year. Now, here we are in the middle of this year. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think they do either. But I thought that was really interesting and at least compelling conversation. So, and I think we have another cut here from They do. Brian from Tyson Beckford?
No, we have a cut from Coffee.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll get to that. So, yeah. So what do you think? I mean, you are in the demo that plays and played all these video games.
I definitely am. But I really think that you really can't blame games for people's actions. I mean, you have that kind of moral bellwether in your head, whether you're going to be a violent person or not.
And you would think that you would know that you're shooting another human being alive.
Exactly. And it's not like playing Duck Hunt with the gun on Nintendo when you were seven.
Right,
you know?
Right. Or bowling. Duck Hunt. Oh, my God. Duck Hunt. Well, let's see what people think. Let's take some calls here. 808-0810. I mean, let's face it. I mean, when I think of games that I played in the past, like Doom, I agree with – here's one thing that I agree with about that study that I read that is from last year. I think it does desensitize you to aggression. So the part where they couldn't put it together, whether it actually leads to criminal violence, I get that. And maybe they'll never be able to prove that. But I think when they talk about the research demonstrates a consistent relation between violent video games and an increase in aggressive behavior – just increase in aggressive behavior. Got that? Comprende? I think that might be true. Don't you think so? And by the way, it works two ways. So that could be, come on, cops, kids, adults, all play video games, or they did. And then somebody brought this up last week, and they said, well, Drex, what about the military? They went to the war, and, you know, well, that's a video game that you do get to play. Not a very pleasant one. Ken in, is this, where am I here?
Rodeo,
my friend.
Rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Ken, you're on KGO. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the military recruiters use those same video games to get kids to, to befriend kids and then eventually enlist. They had them set up in malls where the kids could play, those video games.
You know,
and
I remember
eventually,
that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I think it was banned recently, since then, but they did use it. So you tell me why, one thing didn't lead to the other, there has to be like a connection, right?
Well, Ken, let's break this down psychologically. So if they were using that in the military, you got to think they're trying to desensitize them to the violence, right?
I would think so.
You know, and also a decrease in empathy for even though they're CGI subjects that they shot or killed.
Possibly. I mean, at least present it as sort of a fun thing to do, kill people. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think Brian's right. I'm sure 99.9%, look, it's just a game. I have no interest in going out and dooming anyone. Nor do I want them to doom me. Thank you very much for calling from Rodeo. That's nice. Next, we go to Anthony in San Francisco. Anthony, good evening. You're on KGO.
Hey, Drex. Thanks for taking my call. No, I love the subject. So I'm a millennial right now, 25. So I remember playing video games nonstop as a teenager. I think something that we have to think about is that these kids are communicating with a screen. You know, there's no face-to-face interaction.
Right.
So when they're yelling out vulgar slurs or racist comments or F this or F that, they're not having that face-to-face interaction. So when they get out into public or they get into these different places, yeah, they're going to be more prone to that because their parents aren't there to say, like, hey, you can't act that way. That's not appropriate. And again, it goes to that epigenetic effect of if these kids are growing up in that environment, pretty much throughout their entire life, they're going to be like that, hence why people are so mean on the internet and just all
Absolutely.
Over the place.
Absolutely. I was just going to jump in and say, Anthony, I mean, if anybody, I had an Xbox, I got rid of it. But, I used to join in on those nasty conversations. And basically, I found that a lot of 12 and 13-year-olds just losing their minds on it. And I got bored with it. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, way over the top.
Oh, yeah, and to see that, I mean, I remember some of these conversations. I'm like, wow, how often do these people even get outside? You know, there was a new study saying, and I don't remember where it was from, but prison inmates get more time outside than kids do these days because of the fact that kids are so locked into these screens. And, I really think that there's some sort of, that mad as hell, as long as you don't take my TV and my toaster in my living room, I'm fine, but You know, people got to get outside and start interacting, and that's why we're so desensitized to everything. Like I, you know, like I pointed out, six major corporations own what 300 million people see and hear, and if all we hear about is people being shot and killed and seeing on TV all day long, like in Blue Bloods, where you see someone get their head blown off, or person of interest, where you see the CIA and,
oh, sure.
you know, and the NSA, it's all desensitizing us, programming us to be fine with it. But that's just my take.
No. And you're right on, too. And very interestingly enough, when you talk about NCI and these murder shows on television, guess what the demographic is that wins? They're 25 to 54-year-old females. Do you find that interesting? Now, I don't think that you could correlate 25 to 54-year-old females going out to committing all these crimes that they're watching. But that is the audience that is intrigued by all of these violent television shows. I don't know what's up with that. I'm not a shrink. I'm not a psychologist. Matter of fact, I can't even figure it out off the top of my head. It doesn't make any sense to me. Karen, do you like NCI? You watch all those shows?
Nope, not at all.
Not at all. Okay. I'm just so anti-violent. And I think it's because of what I do for a living. Because I am so consumed with it. We had a great guest in here earlier, the gentleman that was in here to speak with us. And he said, do you get consumed by this? I said, yeah, you really can. Yeah. So as fun as this is, and it is my way of being social, being an extrovert, what happened last week?
Talking about Jeffrey Lykin.
Yeah, Jeffrey Lykin. Yeah, he was a great guy. He's a mentor and works in psychology and speaks at Stanford. How could you not get sucked up into this when you've got to monitor and absorb and listen? You got to know a little about, you know, you got to know a lot about some things and a little about everything. That's basically the way it goes. And this is why, you know, on Saturday I made myself watch Good Will Hunting and that psychologist where he goes through this, and Robin Williams was in it, and this breakdown moment when Matt Damon was abandoned, and so he had abandonment issues. When he finally broke through and cried like a baby, I found myself sitting there doing the same thing. And that was cathartic to me. And as I was doing it, I knew I was making myself do it. I was making myself let go of the horror that I felt consumed by doing this job last week. All right, we'll take a break. Lee Graham with traffic.
I know you're laying there wondering if your prayers ever make it through the ceiling, too. Yeah, I know what you're going through. If I could write the perfect song, make a little right out of all the wrongs, would you close your eyes? Would you let it in? Would you light your candle against the wind? If I could sing the perfect words and change the
that's fantastic. Florida Georgia Line and their new song called Music is Healing, dedicated to the police officers who were murdered in Dallas. So the conversation is this. Do video games cause violence? Do they cause aggression? Do they decrease empathy? Do they do something that Tyson Beckford, model, actor, I don't know, just a great conversation, a point he made today. And I thought, I need to play this on the air.
We might have to send a lot of these cops back to training because, you know, this is a generation of the computer games and video games. So I think a lot of cops, when they hold their gun, they're so trigger happy at wanting to use it instead of de-escalating the situation. And I think they need to learn more of that and less gun and, you know, use more tasers and things of that nature, because, you know, when you pull your gun, it's a lethal thing. You know, it's not, there's no coming back from it. Once you pull that trigger, that bullet does not come back into that barrel of that gun.
The part I disagree with is when he points the conversation towards cops, I think that it could be pointed at everyone. And again, 99.9% of all of us would, just because I played Doom, would not go out and blow somebody's head off. I wouldn't do it. But there is this desensitizing thing that has been proven, and lack of empathy and absolute aggression has also been psychologically proven to happen with people who watch violent video games. It doesn't mean they go out and kill somebody. I mean, just aggression. To the phones we go, and we'll start with Ken in Las Vegas. Ken, thank you for calling. Hi, Ken.
Hey, this is Rick in Las Vegas.
Oh, there you go. Hi. Ken, Rich, okay. What is it about? I appreciate you calling from Vegas. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. I got your signal. Yeah, a lack of empathy, but what it derives from is the fact that, you know, as these millennials, when they were growing up, are totally desensitized socially because, and they go home and play video games all day. You know, my little brother played way too many video games, and I think he's a social retard because he didn't have the interaction with other people.
Well, you could maybe say that about the fact that they just tweet each other and they Snapchat and they don't really look at each other or that. I don't know. I'm thinking, let's think more about maybe your generation or Generation X. I mean, our generation grew up with all of these video games and Xbox and stuff like that and things like that. Yeah. Kids still game. I get that. But kids are more into their smartphone than I think they are. I don't know, really. I guess that's, I don't know the answer to that, if they're still gamers like we were or not.
Well, it's the time they spent in front of a video game that they didn't spend with their friends playing sports or doing other activities.
Well, I understand that, and that's for real. All right, thank you very much, and I appreciate you listening in Vegas. DXing all the way to Drexus right here in San Francisco. Told you we go everywhere. Hi, Alaska. How's the weather? Okay. I bet it's warmer up there than it is here. How much you want to bet? Anthony in El Cerrito, you're on KGO.
Yeah, I was thinking of cops using rubber bullets.
Yes.
And, you know, the first three or four bullets should be like a rubber with less powder in the cartridge. And I think that will, you know, because they could fire real fast with the rubber bullets and it wouldn't kill somebody, but it would hurt them bad.
Well, I think that they do use rubber bullets. I mean, here in the city of San Francisco, we use beanbag bags.
Yeah, but that's when they use it, when they have like a big crowd and stuff
crowd
like
control.
That. I'm just talking about when they stop in cars or what happened to the shooting that happened. Like, you know, the cop reacted so fast that he let off three or four shots. Before I think he let him go before he started thinking.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much for the call. How long is this cut here? Because I'm going to play the whole thing here coming up in about a half hour. Let me see here. This country singer, Coffee. What the hell's his name? He's
Anderson.
Yeah. Country singer Coffee Anderson under fire for instructional traffic stop video. It's like 3.5 minutes. I want to play the whole thing. Here's why. Here's why, and I'll do this at the top of the hour, because it's got 33.5 million hits. Million today. Take a listen to it. He's actually instructing people how to behave during a traffic stop.
As he's walking up to the car, if he's able to see both of your hands, that's safer for him. What it does, it takes his adrenaline down because he knows that as he surveys to see if there's multiple people in the car, there's one person, both hands are here, his safety is already in better hands than what it was. Do not sit on your wallet. Do not sit on your wallet. Number one, do not sit. You want to have your wallet either in the side of your door, cup holder, or at the front of your dash. You have to have your ID pulled out before the cop gets there, because if you're reaching down, as he walks up, you could be pulling a weapon, which is going to compromise his safety, which is going to make his adrenaline go up. Listen to what I'm saying. If you already have your ID on the dash, you have your hands here. As the policeman walks up, he's going to have a view here, license and registration. Patrick is going to say, my license and my registration, or my CHL, concealed handgun license, is on my dash. I am reaching for it. Patrick, slow and steady, reach for your license.
My license is on my dash, and so is my registration.
He's got his hands on the wheel.
There.
And I
other hand on the wheel, fingers out. done. And that's how you hand it over. Because at the end of the day, the policeman wants to go home safely. We want to get home safely. Even if the cop is having a bad day, you have to go home. You got to make it home. You're needed.
Now, here's what happened. So, of course, the Twitterverse attacked. I mean, you can't do a damn thing. I mean, you sneeze, and for Christ's sake. Anyway, man, please. So people have to do all this, make an officer feel safe when they ask you for your ID and you reach for it, and then they shoot you anyway. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry, this is not the solution, but a Band-Aid to a very serious wound in American society, perhaps. I'm sorry, this is BS. Nobody should have to practice being pulled over so that they won't die during a damn routine traffic stop. Maybe the police should practice on how not to kill people. You can't win. You know what? This guy's heart is in the right place, and people got to go bat crap crazy about everything. And again, I'm going to play, coming up here within the end of the hour, the whole 3.5 minutes, because I want you to hear it, because it's really good. My hat's off to this guy for doing this. I mean, man, he's just trying to help. You know, why does everybody have to be so damn uptight about stuff? All right, on that. Yeah, sometimes I get too comfortable with my own skin. I should be able to say what I want to say. Damn it. Okay, let's take a break. More of the Drex Radio Show coming up on KGO 810.
Oh, with a look at traffic.
810 traffic.
Here's that Lee Graham guy. Why does everybody hate Gwyneth Paltrow? Gwyneth Paltrow is the most hated celebrity. Understandably, she's a little sore about that. She's a little pissed, and she has a good point. She said, "What? More hated than like Chris Brown? What did I do to deserve this?" She gets to a certain extent. Quote: "There are things about me that make people draw conclusions. For example, there's this perception that I grew up a very wealthy child, and I was sort of raised with a silver spoon in my mouth, which inspires a lot of resentment from people. But it also sounds like that's your problem. All I can ever do is be my authentic self." She also said that her dad made her work for everything that she has after she graduated. So the perception that she's spoiled is just not accurate. This comes from People magazine. And quite frankly, I don't understand it either. I'm not a fan. But this caught my eye because I'm thinking, what is that about? Do you like Gwyneth Paltrow?
Not really. I mean,
I know. See,
I don't hate her, but
why?
I wouldn't say that I like her. You know what I think part of the problem is her blog, Goop. Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she puts up like the most expensive food. I'm looking at it right now. She has like a $600 pair of pants that she's suggesting people buy, a $2,200 slip sheath that ladies would wear to bed, like a nightgown.
But all rich people do these things. Okay, so I looked this up, and this is from Yahoo Celebrity. Examples of why the Oscar winner ticks off the rest of us. Number 10, she has her own pizza oven, and she wants you to know about it. "We've got a wood-burning oven in our garden, a luxury one, you know," she wrote in her 2011 cookbook, My Father's Daughter. "But it's one of the best investments I've ever made." Oh, she also touted it on her Goop blog, as you said. Pass the Pizza Hut. Don't need it. Okay. Number 9. She couldn't get through an interview without breaking into a yoga routine.
Oh, no.
Well, that's annoying. Okay. But still, I don't think any of these things warrant hate. Hate's a strong word. 7. She refused to walk down the street once. And Gwyneth likes to pay for her exercise, remember? Says at an event, Stella McCartney's boutique continued with a dinner at an eatery four doors down, and she had to be chauffeur-driven in her limousine while the rest of the guests, including her husband, Chris Martin, and 74-year-old Jane Fonda, just walked there. Her rep said she wanted to drive to avoid the paps. Well, if you're walking with Jane Fonda and Chris Martin, honey, I don't think the world's looking at you. She can cook for dozens without batting an eye while we're struggling to get to the dinner table. Well, that makes me envious. She insists that you can have flawless skin like she does. You just have to go to France to get it. She insulted the cupboards of American everywhere. "I would rather die than let my kids eat cup of soup," she once said. She likes to think of her body as an inspiration for the rest of us. It's much easier to sit at home and not exercise and criticize other people. What I love about Eyes and so inspiring, the actress said in Elle's 2011 issue. People come up to me and say, I want to have kids and wear a bathing suit and not feel terrible about myself. I see how hard work and it makes me feel like, well, I can do that. Okay. She explained her reasoning for launching Goop, and it's just as ridiculous as we imagined. When you go to Paris and your concierge sends you some restaurant stuff because they get a kickback, it's like, no, where should I really be? I don't know what that means. And then finally, she shared her picks for spring wardrobe must-haves with Goop readers earlier in the year. And if you decided to actually buy every one of her recommendations, you would have to shell out $500,000. Okay. All right. Sorry, I still don't hate her. I mean, it's not, I don't know what's the thing.
Well, I mean, part
see,
of it.
You know, actress people don't like, and unfairly so, is Renee Zellweger.
She's been kind of off the radar.
I know. I know. I think on purpose. Or, you know, with Hollywood, once you're on that that naughty list, like Jada Pinkett Smith.
Hard to get a job again. Yeah,
it'd be good luck with that. With that hashtag Oscar so white stuff that she did. I'm just saying. We'll see how that movie career moves forward.
Yeah, good luck.
I know. And it's not right. I'm not saying it's right. It's wrong. Of course it's wrong. It's bad. It's bad. Okay, so let's have some fun here. Guess who was on The Family Feud last night? Love what ABC is doing on Sunday night. So they have $100,000 Pyramid, and they have What's My Line, and they have Match Game, and then they have Celebrity Family Feud.
Oh, cool.
Totally fun. Except you think it's okay to... I don't know if I had kids, if I had little kids. It gets really naughty. I mean, they have naughty questions. Things have changed since the 70s, kids. So Snoop Dogg was on Celebrity Family Feud last night. In a showdown with Sugar Ray Leonard and he got a question about marijuana. Surprise. And he didn't get the top answer. Let's take a listen.
Oh.
Name something Grandma might do if she caught Grandpa smoking marijuana. Yes. Yes. Yeah. All them fast hands you got. Marijuana, bam! Just like that. I named something Grandma might do if she caught Grandpa smoking marijuana.
Put hands on him.
Put hands on him. I knew that was going to throw the judge in.
More specific?
Yeah, more specific.
Hit him.
Put hands on him. Ray, she would scream at him. Scream at him. Let's play, right?
Let's play. Baby.
Let's go, let's go.
Okay, so then Snoop Dogg's family can't steal after Sugar Ray's team gets three strikes.
All right, Ray, look, man, we got to be careful. We got two strikes. The Brodus family can steal. And ain't no way they don't know this. Name something Grandma might do if she caught Grandpa smoking marijuana. Cry.
Well, these are all right. Hot.
She might cry.
She might cry.
Here we go. Name something Grandma might do if she caught Grandpa smoking marijuana.
Puff, puff, pass, pass.
The family says, sell it. Not me. I say keep it. They say sell it.
Grandma is selling dope.
There you have it. And by the way, we'll be hearing from Snoop on the other side, too, because he got together. I think it was a Crips and Bloods thing. Yes, I'll let you hear it coming up after the next break. But, they got together and they did a wonderful thing in Los Angeles over the weekend, meeting with police and the mayor of Los Angeles. I just thought it was fantastic. I'll let you hear that coming up. No pressure, but if you haven't gotten it on in the last four times, if you haven't done it at least four times this month, you are failing. Survey found that couples have more sex in July than any other month. People do it on an average of four times a week in July, which sounds exhausting to me. Are you dying? Get off. Okay. I'm sorry. The survey also found we get it on the least in the month of November. No, I'm really not that bad. They didn't release how the other 10 months rank, but apparently they're not focused on completion when it comes to the survey results, just when it comes to, I don't know, happy July. It's a good thing. And apparently just because you have the most generic hair color doesn't mean you're generic in bed. A new survey found that both men and women who say, let's hear both men and women are, women say brunettes are better in bed than blondes. They also say brunettes are more adventurous and enthusiastic when they're getting it on. The survey also found that there's no connection whatsoever between being a good dancer and being good at sex and getting it on. 75%, what is that? 75% of the women, 63% of the men said the best person they ever had sex was with a terrible dancer. Now you know. All right, time to take a break and we'll be back. And we'll hear from, I want to play this coffee guy, this country singer, and then we'll hear what Snoop had to say. Along with the mayor of Los Angeles. Coming up on the Drex
Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show
on KGO 810.
And he says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids. Because all the cool kids, they seem to be.
Listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world on the KGO app. That's right, we KGO go wherever you go. And as the sun sets, and it has, all over the western United States. Very much, thank you very much for joining me. So I want to start with Snoop Dogg. And he got together with the mayor of L.A. So it was Snoop Dogg and the Game. They led this peace march in Los Angeles over the weekend. And then met with Mayor Eric Garcetti and L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck about, you know, improving relationships between the police and the black community. And believe it or not, this is great. The idea was to unite members of rival gangs and minorities and let the police meet them face to face. Really cool. I mean, like all the gangs got together, which is doesn't happen very often. Here's what that sounded like and what went down.
Our whole mission today was to move in peace and to show that L.A. can be unified and not to bash the police, but to come up here and get some dialogue and some communication. So today was the first step to many steps.
Hearing and watching what happened to Alton Sterling, and then the very next day seeing another video, I was torn. Number one, as an African American, because I am African American, not because it's African Americans against the world. It's because I embody who I am, and that hurt me. That really, really hurt me. We are really, really destroying humanity as individuals. And if you would like to take responsibility as I am and the people are here are, we're doing it as a whole. And if we don't stop, then one by one, our lives will dwindle away, along with our families and our children's.
And I just think that's fantastic. And then now I'm going to play you something that I was talking about that went completely viral. You want to know how viral this has gone? Right now I'm looking at 33 million, almost 33.5 million posts. This is country singer Coffee Anderson. Never heard of him. Under fire. He's under fire for instructional traffic stop video. That's right. The country singer Coffee Anderson was met with criticism after posting this video with tips on how to act when pulled over by the police. He was a contestant on Nashville Star and is also a motivational sticker. He's also a motivational speaker, not stinker, motivational stinker. And he shared the 4-minute video on Facebook. And I don't know. I think it's very cool. So I'm going to let you hear what 33.5 million other people have already listened to. Take a listen to what he talks about.
Hello, this is Coffee, country music singer, inspirational speaker. I wanted to take a few minutes to show you guys a proper protocol of what to do when you get pulled over. Most of the times when we get pulled over, it's a surprise. We're not used to it. It's not something that happens every day. I'm going to give you some simple things that are going to help it be a...
By the way, I don't think this should make any difference, but I am going to point out that he is African-American. All right, continue.
Safer situation for both the police officer and for you as a civilian. You're already pulled over right now. One of the first things that I do whenever I got pulled over, I wanted to make sure that my car was completely turned off. The radio is all the way down. I'm facing forward. Both of my hands are here with my fingers out. With my fingers out. Get your wallet, please.
I'm reaching for my wallet.
Great.
this awesome actor here, Patrick, as the cop is approaching, you have to realize he doesn't know what's coming. Follow me, Kenny. But as he's walking up to the car, if he's able to see both of your hands, that's safer for him. What it does, it takes his adrenaline down because he knows that as he surveys to see if there's multiple people in the car, there's one person, both hands are here, his safety is already in better hands than what it was. Do not sit on your wallet. Do not sit on your wallet. Number one, do not sit. You want to have your wallet either in the side of your door, cup holder, or at the front of your dash. You have to have your ID pulled out before the cop gets there. Because if you're reaching down, as he walks up, you could be pulling a weapon, which is going to compromise his safety, which is going to make his adrenaline go up. Listen to what I'm saying. If you already have your ID on the dash, you have your hands here. As the policeman walks up, he's going to have a view here, license and registration. Patrick is going to say, my license and my registration, or my CHL, concealed handgun license, is on my dash. I am reaching for it. Patrick, slow and steady, reach for your license.
My license is on my dash, and so is my registration. It's here.
There.
And I...
Other hand on the wheel, fingers out. Done. And that's how you hand it over. Because at the end of the day, the policeman wants to go home safely. We want to get home safely. Even if the cop is having a bad day, you have to go home. You got to make it home. You're needed. This is a big deal. The cop has your information. You're still here. Radio is off. The car's completely off. Hands here, fingers extended. Say that your wallet is on the right-hand side behind your back. Reach for your wallet. Reach for your wallet. Now, from this angle, he could be pulling a weapon. It's just the appearance. The Bible says stay away from the appearance of evil. This is what we want to do. We want to give the devil no place. So if he's pulling here, it's the same place as if you would have a gun. So if he's pulling here, that's the danger of actually opening up yourself to saying, I may have a weapon to pull something on you. If it's here, hands on the dash, fingers exposed, it's a much safer place to go. Point number two, if you're actually on the highway, how do you pull over? If you see the blue and red lights behind you, you put your blinker on, go as far to the right of the highway as you can, slow your car down to 15 to 20 miles per hour. If there's no place to pull over on the shoulder, take the first exit. On the first exit, get over to the shoulder, turn your car off, turn your radio down, ID on the dash, fingers out, hands extended. Guys, listen, this is about going home. There is a big disconnect because at the end of the day, it's about stereotypes. The stereotypes that I've seen of policemen was the video from Rodney King. And a lot of stereotypes that they see of African-American men are not positive. We've been there. We've all seen it. And guess what? I want to break the wall down between what we really don't know about each other to what we can learn from each other. So let's make a simple protocol that can get you guys home safer on the police side and on our side. God bless you. I wish you the best. Slim, get in here. Patrick, get in here. We care about you. We care about us. We also care about the blue that's protected me. I've been lucky enough as a country singer to have some of the best policemen work security for me. I want those guys to go home safe as much as I want you to go home safe as well. So thank you, Kenny Jackson, for filming this. God bless you, and please share this video. Have the best day.
Okay, so 33.5 million people have country singer Coffee Anderson under fire for instructional traffic stop video. What's he under fire for, man? I mean, just a couple of the mean tweets. Man, please. So, please. I have to, wait a second, stop that. So, you know, all you have to do is make an officer feel safe when they ask you for your ID and reach for it, and then they shoot you anyway? What? Somebody else said, sorry, this is not the solution, but a Band-Aid to a very serious wound in American society. And then somebody else said, this is just total BS. Nobody should have to practice being pulled over so, you know, they don't die during a routine traffic stop. Make police, you know, start practicing on how not to kill. That would be the perfect way to do it. Anyway, I think it's fantastic. So good for country singer Coffee Anderson. Hats off to him. And on that note, I wish you a great night. We'll make more tomorrow on the Drex Radio Show. The John Batchelor Show is coming up next. Yes, he's next on KGO 810.